Good evening.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm well. I don't recognize your voice, so I apologize for that.
This is Michelle. I was just in your earlier class.
Well, welcome. We're going to wait until a couple more people come on board.
Okay.
I hope you enjoyed the earlier class.
I did. It is why I'm on this class call. Very much.
Well,
you did a wonderful job.
I understand. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach. Gedulat Yemincha Tatir Tzerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Na Gibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat Shamre. Nun Gimel Dalad, Yud Kaf Shin. We utilize the sequence Yud Kaf Shin to take our body parts that need healing and return them to the stem cell state, where they can be rejuvenated, where they can be cleansed, and where they can be healed. And when they're ready, we return them to our body, where they start to act again in their pristine state, totally healed, totally rejuvenated. Barchem tacharem Rakame Sidkarcha Tamid Gamlein Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. In the letters of the month of Av, the Kaf that created the planet we call the Sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the Leo, the Lion. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adata Ekufet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geneh Lamcha Peneh Zokhe Kirushata Lamed, Zion, Shavatenu Kabel, Uchbatia, Tenu, Yodea, Dalmo, Shintufav, Zadiata. And I almost forgot. We're adding the verse from the Torah, from Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. V'samti makom le'ami le'Yisrael Untati v'shatan takta v'lo yirgaz Od v'lo yosifu Vene avia, leanoto kasher barishona. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place, and be disquieted no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first. I'm reading from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Ekev, section 4, verse 66. As for the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man. Actually, I'm reading from verse 67, because I read verse 66 in another class today. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kolonei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kolonehu. Mikael Rashim Birshimu Listar Darom Vekol Anpin Mistaklin Ligabe Pene Adam Pene Arye Pene Nesher Ben Pene Shor Adam Yehudikar Benukla Velo Itkare Adam bar hake umine itzarin tziurin birakev Elohim rabotayim elofi shanan. Michael made a mark to the south side and all three faces, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. Look toward the face of a man. A man is male and female, and is not called a man without them. From it, from the face of a man, all shapes were formed in the secret of it. From the face of a man, in the secret of the verse, the chariots of Elohim are twice 10,000. Thousands upon thousands. The Hebrew word is shinan. This verse from the Zohar is a bit esoteric. It's speaking about the chariot and the prophecy of Ezekiel, where he saw angels, where he saw a chariot which had an angel, and that angel had four faces, the face of a man, and the word Adam, which is what is being translated as man, means male and female, because Adam was originally created male and female in unity. And the other three faces all look to the man, all come out of the man. The question is, the evolutionary process, is it from the top down or from the bottom up? The Zohar is telling us in this verse that the evolutionary process is from the top down, whereas science teaches that the evolutionary process is from the bottom up. The one-celled plant, the one-celled animal, which would grow into multi-cells and then into different forms of animals and plants. The Zohar teaches us that the evolutionary process is correct, but it starts with the thought. And the thought is from the top down. Does anybody have any questions? The class tonight is our second class in the Esther Sefirot. The handout can be found the same place as last week. On the Revealed Wisdom page, if you scroll down, you'll see the matrix. And I believe that matrix is on the third column from the left, or the second column from the right. It talks about a class of the 10 luminous emanations. When you click on that, you'll be able to find the handout. Right now, that handout has 22 sections. Last week, we were only able to get through 6 of those sections. Tonight, we will start with the 7th section. But of course, we don't expect to finish all 22 tonight. This is the introduction that Rabbi Ashlag wrote about the Etz Chaim, the book that the Ari wrote, that Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote as part of his teachings. The Ari told Rabbi Chaim Vital that he would reincarnate, he would return in a later time, where he would arrange the teachings so that they would be more easily understood. That reincarnation was Rabbi Ashlag, the most important Kabbalist mid-century, and really of the last 300 or 400 years. Rabbi Ashlag's background comes through the Ashkenazi tradition, the European tradition. The Sephardic tradition does not accept him because he does not know, or we do not know, who his teacher was. And every Kabbalist up until Rabbi Ashlag, we have known who their teacher was, and we've been able to trace their teacher all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, so that we know that the Kabbalah that they teach is kosher. The Sephardic system, the Sephardic rabbis, the Sephardic Kabbalists are questioning Rabbi Ashlag, but that's very normal for Kabbalists. The generations, the teachers of the generation, the sages of the generation, rarely accept the teachings of a particular rabbi until much later after he has passed. And it's only been about 50, 60 years since Rabbi Ashlag has passed. And so it's not yet accepted, although there are some Sephardic rabbis who are starting to realize and to teach what Rabbi Ashlag teaches from his book, the Esser Sefirot, the Ten Sefirot, because it's a rearranged aspect of the book that the Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote called the Etz Chaim. And in this rearranged structure, it is much easier to understand it. It's much easier for us to absorb it and move forward with it. But we haven't even reached that book, that rearranged structure. We're just reading the introduction, which is called the Hakdamah. And in fact, in the Kabbalist standpoint, their foreword, their preface, their Hakdamah is always on a higher level. And I have been taught that the Hakdamah that we are reading is one of the highest aspects of the Kabbalah that we can study. Are there any questions before I start reading section 7? Now you will understand the two sides of the coin of engagement in Torah and mitzvot. On the one hand, it is the path of Torah, meaning the extensive preparation one must make to prepare the purification of his body before he is actually rewarded with keeping Torah and mitzvot. In that state, he necessarily engages in Torah and mitzvot, lo lishmo, not for her name, but mixed with self-gratification and ego. This is because he has not yet purified and cleansed his body from the will to receive pleasure from the vanities of this world. During this time, one must lead a sorrowful life and labor in the Torah, as it is written in the Mishnah, and we spoke about last week. However, after one completes the path of Torah, has already purified his body, and is now ready to keep the Torah and the mitzvot lishma, to bring contentment to his maker, he comes to the other side of the coin. This is the life of pleasure and great tranquility, to which the intention of creation, to do good to his creations, refers, meaning the happiest life in this world and in the next world. My commentary. This is the meaning of the teachings of the sages, that the world that is coming can be brought into this world. When this is accomplished, one person at a time, that person no longer lives with the Tetragrammaton. He now has the metaphor of Yud-He, Yud-He, not Yud-He, Vav-He. Please note, I have not reached this level either. I've just tasted it a few times in my life. I'm going to speak a little bit more to help clarify this understanding that Rabbi Ashlag is teaching us here. The sages have taught in the Mishnahs, they've taught that you do the mitzvot lo lishma, not for its own sake, but you do these mitzvot until you reach the level, and the mitzvot will change you to reach the level of doing the mitzvot lishma, for its own sake, to give pleasure to the Creator. It's not understood. Which comes first? At Mount Sinai, we all have heard the story how the Jewish people told Moses, we will do and then we will understand. We will do and then we will hear. This is the opposite way from the way the world works. If I want somebody to help me with something, I call them and tell them what I want them to do. And then they either agree or they don't agree. And if they do agree, they follow my instructions. The Jewish people at Mount Sinai said, not that we will hear you and then decide whether we will do it, because we know you are the Creator. We have seen your miracles in Egypt. We have seen and experienced you as the Creator in our lives. We don't have to hear what you're going to tell us. We know that you're the Creator, and what you tell us, we will do. First, we will do it. Then we will hear it. First, we will do it. And then we will learn the meaning of why we do it. Then we will learn to do it correctly. And in this process, we transform our selfish desires, which is the metaphor of lo lishma, into the positive desires, which is the level called lishma, for its own sake. Rabbi Ashlag is explaining that in this section. He's saying, you have these two sides of the same coin. You do a mitzvah without understanding why, without doing it properly, and it will cause you to change yourself. And eventually you will arrive at this level of lishma, for its own sake. But earlier, and from later from here, we're going to learn that there's another aspect to that. That if we don't have the consciousness that we will learn, we will never make this level of lishma. We have to know where we are going, or the road leads you in the wrong place. Section 8. This explains the great difference between the wisdom of Torah and the rest of the teachings in the world. Acquiring the other teachings in the world does not benefit life in this world whatsoever. This is because they do not even render mere gratification, for the torments and suffering one experiences during life. Hence, one need not correct one's body, and the labor that he gives in return for them is quite sufficient. As with all other worldly possessions, acquired in return for labor and toil. However, the sole purpose of engagement in Torah and mitzvot is to make a person worthy of receiving all the goodness in the intention of the creation, to do good to his creations. Hence, one must necessarily purify one's body to merit that godly goodness. My commentary. The rest of the teachings of the world, and there are many. There are many religions, there are many spiritual paths, there is many teachings. And especially in our generation, people have become more aware of these different paths and these different teachings. All of these other teachings of the world includes all, including the teachings of religion, and all of the teachings of science, and all of the teachings of how to earn a living in this world, unless, of course, one realizes that these teachings are also Torah. It's imperative that a parent teaches a child how to earn a living in this world. But in many of the Haredi and many of the religious communities, they don't teach their children to earn a living. They teach them a form of Torah, do the mitzvot, study the Torah, pray three times a day. Do these actions because making money in this world, Hashem will provide for you. Don't worry about it. But Hashem does provide for those people who do learn Torah, not from the standpoint of, I don't want to know from it, but those people who live Torah because they do the actions of the mitzvot as part of their life. They do Torah. They live Torah. And that process means that when they do the mitzvot, they are cleansing their body. If they don't realize this, then the doing of the mitzvot never reaches the level of lishma for its own sake, and they remain constantly in this lower level of pain and suffering. And this lower level that was described in the earlier sections, which says, don't earn a living, suffer. And that is not what the Creator wants. And that's what Rabbi Ashlag is telling us in this eighth section. Section 9. This also thoroughly clarifies the words of the Mishnah. If so you do, happy you will be in this world. They made this precision deliberately. The sentence is very clear, to indicate that a happy life in this world is only for those who have completed the path of Torah. Thus, the mortification in eating and drinking and sleeping and a sorrowful life that are merited and mentioned here apply only while being on the path of Torah. This is why they meticulously stated, thus is the path of Torah. And when one completes this path of lo lishma, in sorrowful life and mortification, the Mishnah ends, happy are you in this world. This is because you will be granted that happiness and that goodness in the intention of creation. and the whole world will be rewarding for you, even this world, and all the more so the next world. My commentary. Please do not perceive a separation between all of the above and what is below. It is all one hakdama, forward or preface or introduction. It may seem like the subject has changed as we read on. It has not changed. Do the mitzvot with the consciousness that you need to start living the mitzvot. And then the mitzvot will cleanse your body and also your soul. And when you have completed that process, as many of us in this generation have done, you will live Torah in the frame of happiness and serenity and the other positive aspects that Rabbi Ashlag gives us and reads to us and reminds us. Section 10. The Zohar in Bereshit writes about the verse, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was light for this world, and there was light for the next world. This means that the acts of creation were created in their full stature and form, meaning in their fullest glory and perfection. Accordingly, the light that was created on the first day came out in all its perfection, which contains the life of this world too, in utter pleasantness and gentleness, as expressed in the words, let there be light. However, to prepare a place of choice and labor, he stood and concealed it for the righteous. At the end of days, as our sages say, hence they said in their pure tongue, let there be light for this world. However, it did not remain so, but let there be light for the next world. In other words, they who practice Torah and mitzvot lishma are rewarded with it only at the end of days, during the end of days after the end of the purification of their body in the path of Torah. Then they are rewarded with that great light in this world too, as our ages said, you shall see your world in your life. My commentary. The coming of Mashiach, called the end of days, does also come to each individual whenever they do Torah and mitzvot lishma. The opportunity is to maintain Torah and mitzvot at this level of lishma. There are times when we can reach this consciousness and do the positive mitzvah or the not do the negative mitzvah with the consciousness of lishma. The challenge, the opportunity, and the growth is to maintain that consciousness and continue to do additional mitzvot, additional acts of sharing, lishma, for its own sake. To help explain this section 10 a little more, I'm reminding you that light was created on the first day of creation. But the sun and the moon didn't get created until the fourth day of creation. So what is that light that was created? That light that was created on the first day of creation is goodness. Any pleasure that we can receive, any energy of pleasure that we have a desire to receive, that is the light of goodness. And the sages have said, but God put that away and hid it away. It's called Or Ganuz, the hidden light. And it only comes out at Hanukkah time. But it comes out to any one of us who is willing to learn this consciousness of Lishma, who is willing to learn Torah for its own sake, not for a reward in this world, not for honor in this world, just to give pleasure to the Creator. How do we create that? How do we make that work? How do we have that consciousness? This is what the tools of Kabbalah help us achieve. Section 11. However, we find and see in the words of the sages of the Talmud that they have made the path of Torah easier for us than the sages of the Mishnah. This is because they said one should always practice the Torah and mitzvot, even lo lishma, and from lo lishma he will come to lishma, because the light in it reforms him. Thus they have provided us with a new means. Instead of the penance presented in the above mentioned Mishnah, the avot, the light in the Torah, it bears sufficient power to reform oneself and bring him to practice Torah and mitzvot lishma. They did not mention penance here, only that engagement in Torah and mitzvot alone provides one with that light that reforms, so one may engage in Torah and mitzvot in order to bring contentment to his Maker, and not at all for his own pleasure. And this is called Lishma. My commentary. For those of you who do not understand the terminology, the Talmud is a commentary on the Mishnah, which are earlier teachings by approximately 300 to 600 years. The Mishnah are actually notes of earlier teachings still. Thus, the notes are incomplete, and the Talmud attempts to clarify the teachings. Yet Rabbi Ashlag is saying here that the Talmud teaches that we do not need to live a minimalist lifestyle and wait until we absorb this idea into our lives. He is teaching that the unsaid explanation of the Mishnah is to do the Torah and mitzvot, and that will purify your body after a while. How long is a while? It's not yet said. Verse 12, or section 12. Yet it seems we must question their words. After all, we have found a few students whose practice in Torah did not help them to come to Lishma through the light in it. Indeed, practicing Torah and mitzvot in lo lishma means that one believes in the Creator, in the Torah, and in reward and punishment. And he engages in the Torah because the Creator commanded the engagement, but associates his own pleasure with bringing contentment to his Maker. If, after all one's trouble in the practice of Torah and mitzvot, he will learn that no pleasure or self-benefit came to him through this great exertion and strain, he will regret having made all these efforts. This is because from the very beginning he has tortured himself, thinking that he too would enjoy his exertion. This is called lo lishma, not for its own sake. Nevertheless, our sages permitted the beginning of the practice in Torah and mitzvot in lo lishma, as well as because from lo lishma one comes to lishma. However, there is no doubt that if this student has not been rewarded with faith in the Creator and in his law, but still dwells in doubt, it is not about him that our sages said, from lo lishma he will come to lishma. It is not about him in that they said that by engaging in it, the light in it reforms them. This is so because the light in the Torah shines only for to those with faith. Moreover, the measure of that light is the measure of the force of one's faith. Yet to those whose faith, who without faith, it is the opposite. For they receive darkness from the Torah, and their eyes darkness darken. My commentary. Does it seem that Rabbi Ashlag is teaching here something that goes against my commentary above at section 8? You will come to realize that it is only a surface reading. Read on and you will be able to reconcile these two surface readings. To reconcile the surface readings, one needs to learn the difference between emunah, the Hebrew word for faith, and bitachon, the Hebrew word for trust, and vadai, the Hebrew word for certainty. Section 13. Sages have already presented a nice allegory about the verse, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Wherefore would ye have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light." This is an allegory about a rooster and a bat that were waiting for the light. The rooster said to the bat, "I am waiting for the light because the light is mine. But you, why do you need the light?" Clearly, those students who were not endowed with coming from lo lishma to lishma, due to their lack of faith, did not receive any light from the Torah. Thus in darkness they walk and shall die without wisdom, chas v'shalom. Conversely, those who were imparted complete faith are guaranteed in the words of our sages that because they engage in the Torah, even in lo lishma, the light in it reforms them. They will be imparted the Torah lishma, which brings a happy and good life in this world and in the next world, even without the prior affliction and sorrowful life. It is about them that the verse writes, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth." My commentary. This teaching by Rabbi Ashlag is referring to the religious world that is teaching the letter of the law and ignoring the spirit of the law. This is the real cause of the death of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. Think about this for a minute. If you were Rabbi Akiva, having spent 40 years building a base of students who died, could you start over? Rabbi Akiva did start over with a change. He taught the spirit as well as the law. This is what my teachers do today. They teach the spirit in addition to teaching the law. This is what I am still doing with the help of Hashem. Section 14. Concerning such a matter as the above, I once interpreted the saying of our sages, "He whose Torah is his trade, the measure of his faith is apparent in his practice of Torah, because the letters of the word, umanuto, his trade, are the same in Hebrew as the letters of the word, emunato, his faith." It is like a person who trusts his friend and lends him money. He may trust him with a pound, and if he asks for 2 pounds, he will refuse to lend it to him. He might also trust him with 100 pounds, but not more. Also, he might trust him enough to lend him half his properties, but not all of his properties. Finally, he may trust him with all of his properties, without a hint of fear. This last faith is considered whole faith, and the previous forms are considered incomplete faith. Rather, it is partial faith, whether more or less. Similarly, one allots oneself only 1 hour a day to practice Torah and work out the measure of his faith in the Torah. Another allots 2 hours according to the measure of one's faith in the Creator. The third does not neglect even a single moment of his free time without engaging in Torah and the work, the spiritual work. Thus, only the faith of the last one is whole, since he trusts the Creator with all his property. The previous ones, however, their faith is still incomplete. Before I go into my commentary, I'm just reminding you that what Rabbi Ashlag said earlier, one has to have complete faith in order to reach Lishmo. Do you study Torah Lo Lishma? Do you expect to reach the stage of Lishma by doing the Torah and the mitzvot Lo Lishma? Study section 14 in depth, and then go to learn with the asceticism mentioned by the sages above. Rabbi Ashlag is reminding us that it takes complete faith and certainty to reach Lishma from Lo Lishma. When I spoke to you about the 72 names of God in class number 4, and I spoke to you about Nachshon ben Aminadav and his level of certainty, which was required for the waters of the Yam Suf, the sea of limitation, the sea of end, to split, to break out of the limitations. It takes complete faith, complete certainty. Are you at this level? Will you become to this level? We do not start out at this level, as Rabbi Ashlag said in this commentary, in this writing. Will you lend your neighbor $1? Will you lend him $100? You test him. You see that it works for you. And each time you lend a little more, you trust a little more. That is what is meant by doing the Torah and mitzvot Lo Lishmo. And as you grow into a greater amount of trust, you're receiving a greater amount of that light of fulfillment, that light that gives you pleasure. So you do not have to live the life of asceticism. But if you don't have that, even that beginning point of faith, there is no growth. And you might as well go learn and live the life of asceticism, chas v'shalom. Section 15. Thus it has been thoroughly clarified that one should not expect that engagement in Torah and mitzvot, Lo Lishma, will bring him to Lishma, except when one knows in one's heart that he has been granted faith in the Creator and in his Torah appropriately. This is because then the light in it reforms him, and he will attain the day of the Lord, which is all light. The sanctity of faith purifies one's eyes to enjoy his light until the light of the Torah reforms him. Yet those whose faith are as bats, they cannot look at the light of that day, because the daylight has been inverted for them to be a more terrible darkness than the darkness of the night, as they are only fed in the darkness of night. In this manner, the eyes of those without faith are blinded to the light of God. Hence, the light becomes darkness to them. For them, the portion of life is turned into a portion of death. It is about them that the writing says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Wherefore would ye have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light." Thus, first one must make one's faith whole. My commentary. How can one create a total level of faith and certainty in the Creator? Use as an example what Rabbi Ashlag reminded us about above. Lend a dollar, and when it's paid back, lend him two. And when it's paid back, lend him 100. And when it's paid back, lend him more, half of your wealth. And then when it's paid back, give him everything. It will be paid back to you. Do not give all of your wealth to one person without testing them in small amounts first. Have you tested the Creator yet? If the answer is no, he tests me, you are following a wrong path, in my opinion. Let me address it in a little more practical manner. I have shown you in class number 4 about the 72 names of God, about how you can intertwine your name with the energy of each of the 72 names. And I have shown you an example of what's called the Book of Adam. And I have shown you an example in that Book of Adam where we take the word Vadai, certainty, and intermix it with your name. And by practically looking at this sequence of letters, your name and the word Vadai intermixed, your level of certainty grows. You don't have to live the life of trouble, the light of minuscule, the light of being poor financially. You have to grow your certainty. And the tools of Kabbalah, such as the Book of Adam, will help you achieve that. But how does one give you the Book of Adam if you're not going to utilize it properly? And that's why I say to you, say the Anabakoah, scan the 72 names of God. Do it for 3 months, do it for 6 months, and then write to me and ask that I give it back to you, that I give you a Book of Adam, that I give you the 72 names with your name intertwined, and watch your certainty grow. Section 16. This answers yet another question in the Tosafot. He who practices Torah Lishma, his Torah becomes to him a potion of life. And he who practices Torah Lo Lishma, his Torah becomes to him a portion of death. They asked, yet they said, one will always practice the Torah, even Lo Lishma. And from Lo Lishma he will come to Lishma. According to the explained above, we should divide it simply. One who engages in Torah for the mitzvah of studying Torah and believes in reward and punishment, but associating self-pleasure and benefit with the intention to bring contentment to his maker, the light in it will reform him, and he will come to Lishma. and one who studies not for the mitzvah of studying Torah, because he does not believe in reward and punishment in that measure, to labor so for it, but exerts only for his own pleasure, it becomes a portion of death for him, since for him the light in it is turned to darkness. My commentary. What is your consciousness regarding faith and trust and certainty? Section 17. Hence the student pledges prior to the study to strengthen himself in faith in the Creator and in his guidance in reward and punishment. As our sages have said, your landlord is liable to reward you for your work. One should aim one's labor to be for the mitzvot of the Torah, and in this way he will be imparted the pleasure of the light in it. His faith will strengthen and grow through the remedy in this life, as it is written, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. A verse from Proverbs. Then one's heart shall rest assured that from lo lishma he will come to lishma. Thus even one who knows about himself that he has not been rewarded with faith still has hope through the practice of Torah. For if one sets one's heart and mind to attain faith in the Creator through it, there is no greater mitzvah than that. As our sages said, Habakkuk came and stressed only that the righteous shall live by his faith. Habakkuk is a prophet. He is actually the prophet. He was the boy who was resurrected by Elisha in the earlier story in the Torah. Habakkuk. His name means two lives. It indicates he was resurrected. And he is stressing the way to learn Torah is to strengthen your faith. And when you reach the level of complete faith, you will have reached the level of Torah Lishma and receive only the goodness that is promised from living Torah. Moreover, there is no other counsel than this, as it is written in the Talmud. Rabbi said, Job wished to rid the whole world of judgment. He said before him, O Lord, thou hast created the righteous. Thou hast created the wicked who holds you down. And Rashi interprets there, thou hast created righteous by means of the good inclination. Thou hast created wicked by means of the evil inclination. Hence none are saved from thine hand, for who holds you down? Coerced are the sinners. And what did the friends of Job reply? Indeed, you do away with fear and impair devotion before God the Creator has created the evil inclination. He has created it for the spice of Torah. Rashi interprets there, created the Torah, which is a spice that revokes thoughts of transgression. As it is written, if you cometh across this villain, pull him to the Bet HaMidrash, the seminary. If he is hard, he will soften. Hence, not coerced are they, for they could save themselves. My commentary. I should have mentioned this earlier. Whenever you read reward and punishment, know that Rabbi Ashlag used the words that mean cause and effect. There is no reward and there is no punishment in Torah and mitzvot. This is the truer meaning of Lishma. There is only cause and effect. clearly they cannot rid themselves of the judgments. I'm reading section 18, I'm sorry. Clearly they cannot rid themselves of the judgment if they say that they received that spice and still have thoughts of transgression, meaning that they are still in doubt and the evil inclination has not yet melted. This is because the Creator who created it and gave the evil inclination its strength evidently knew to create the remedy and the spice liable to wear off the power of the evil inclination and eradicate it altogether. And if one practices Torah and fails to remove the evil inclination from himself, it is either that he has been negligent in giving the necessary labor and exertion in the practice of Torah, as it is written, I have not labored, but found, do not believe. Or perhaps one did put it in the necessary amount of labor, but has been negligent in the quality. This means that while practicing Torah, they did not set their minds and hearts to draw the light in the Torah, which means bring to one's heart. Rather, they have been absent-minded about the principal requirement demanded of the Torah, namely the light that yields faith. And although they initially aimed for it, their minds went astray during the study. Excuse me. Either way, one cannot rid oneself of the judgment by arguing coercion. For our sages strictly state, I have created the evil inclination. I have created for it the spice of Torah. If there had been any exceptions in that, then Job's question would remain valid. My commentary. Why is the phrase the Torah is created as a spice to be used against the evil inclination? Food without spice is bland, and no one eats this unless there is no choice. There is always a choice since free will is an important aspect of creation. Spice is used to entice one to eat. Torah is a spice, and we should always keep that in mind. It is not the goal into itself, but an enticement to the goal. I'm going to read section 19. And that will be the last section for tonight. Through all that has been explained thus far, I have removed a great complaint about the words of Rabbi Chaim Vital in his introduction to Shari HaHakdamot, the Gate of Introductions, by the Ari, and the introduction to the Tree of Life. He writes, indeed, one should not say, I shall go and engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, before he engages in the Torah, the Mishnah, and the Talmud. This is because our sages have already said, one should not enter the Pardes, the garden, unless he has filled his stomach with meat and wine. This is like a soul without a body. It has no reward or act or consideration before it is connected in a body. When it is whole, corrected to the in the mitzvot of the Torah, in the 613 mitzvot. Conversely, when one is occupied with the wisdom of the Mishnah and the Babylonian Talmud, and does not give a share to the secrets of the Torah and its concealments as well, it is like a body that sits in the dark without a human soul. God's candle which shines within it. Thus the body is dry and does not draw from a source of life. Thus a wise disciple who practices Torah Lishma should first engage in the wisdom of the Bible, the Mishnah and the Talmud, as long as his mind can tolerate. Afterwards, he will delve into knowing his Maker in the wisdom of truth, which is his form, his words for the Kabbalah. It is as King David commanded his son Solomon, know that the God of thy father and serve him. And if that person finds the study of the Talmud heavy and difficult, he is better off leaving his hand off it once he has tested his luck in this wisdom and engage in the wisdom of truth. It is written, a disciple who has not seen a good sign in his study within 5 years will also not see it. Thus, every person whose study is easy must dedicate a portion of 1 or 2 hours a day to study the halakha, the Jewish code of laws, and explain and interpret the questions in the literal halakhot. My commentary. This is why when I am asked what to study, I recommend Chok Yisrael. This is a series of daily study created by the Arizal. It takes less than an hour a day, except on Friday, which can be completed on Shabbat. It includes all 10 levels of Torah, the 5 books of Moses, or the Chumash, the prophets, the writings, the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Zohar, the Halakha, Rashi's commentary, the ethical teachings from the Sefer Chassidim, Musar, which is not included in the Chok Yisrael itself. Here is a website for the online source of Chok Yisrael. It's www.echok.com. Does anybody have any questions? Have I lost everybody, or is you still there?
I'm here.
We will continue with this subject in the Hakdama next week. There is much to contemplate, much to think about. And for many people, when you first read it, as when I first read it, it didn't make any sense to me. But the next time I read it, it started to make some sense, but not a lot. And this is now my 10th time in reading it, and I am still learning, because there is much here. I wish you all a good evening, and remind
you
tomorrow
much.
Night at 8:30, you're very welcome. I remind you tomorrow at 8:30 p.m., is the 21st class in the Book of Reincarnation, the Wheels of Gilgulim, the Wheels, which is what reincarnation is all about. We're taking it slowly, but we're covering the subject in depth. Thursday at 10 p.m. is a class in Zohar. Saturday night at 10 p.m. is a class in Zohar. The first opportunity we have each Saturday after the Shabbat to do a spiritual action, and that spiritual action of studying Torah is highly beneficial. Sunday morning at 10:30, we will be speaking again, preparing ourselves for the 23 days of holidays in Tishrei, for the Day of Judgment at the end of the year, and the Day of Energy for the renewal of the year. We'll be studying this for the next 7, 8, 9 weeks, every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Have a beautiful week, a beautiful evening, and I wish you all well.
You too.
Shalom.
Thank you.